That's the one. That's the one I got.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee to order for this Wednesday, July 17, 2019. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce the members of the committee. Please respond present when I call your name. Sam Gill.
Present.
Robert Hogue on the phone.
Robert, are you there?
We'll call. We'll circle around. Eric Jansen.
Present.
Dr. Dean Kotlowski.
Present.
Mary Lannan.
Present.
Michael Moran on the phone.
Present.
Robin Solomon.
Present.
Donald Scarinci.
Present.
Jeannie Stephen Solomon.
Present.
Dennis Tucker on the phone.
Present.
Thank you, Dennis. I am Tommy Ram, the chairman of the CCAC, and I welcome everyone. We'll review today's agenda first. First, we'll have the discussion of the letters and the minutes from the June 18, 2019 meeting. And from our telephone meeting, we'll move on and review discussion of the obverse candidate designs for the Basketball Hall of Fame commemorative coin program and the design competition, a review and discussion of the reverse candidate designs for the Basketball Hall of Fame commemorative coin program will follow that. Before we begin our proceedings, are there members of the press in attendance and on the phone or on the phone? Anyone in attendance from the press?
Paul Jilk,
on the phone. Thank you, Paul. Any journalists in the room or any journalists other than Paul? Thank you. I'd finally also like to record and acknowledge the following Mint staff that are participating in today's meeting. First of all, April Stafford, the Chief Office of Design Management. And program managers from that office are Vanessa Frank, Megan Sullivan, Pam Bohr, Roger Vasquez. Where's Roger? There you guys are. Okay, over there. All right. Ron Harrigal, manager of design and engraving, is with us. Betty Birdsong, our liaison to the Citizens Advisory Committee. Our counsel, Mr. Greg Wyman. So I'd like to begin with the Mint. Or are there any other issues that we need to be addressed before we begin? Okay. Then first, our general is the approval of the minutes, Secretary, from our last meeting. Are there any comments on the documents that you all received? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes and letters?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second by Eric. All those in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We now turn to April. And April is our, as mentioned, Chief Mint Office of Design and Management to present the designs and portfolio for the Basketball Hall of Fame Commemorative Coin Program Design Competition. April.
Beginning with the offers.
Beginning with the offers.
Thank you so much. We are very fortunate to have with us today representatives of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, who we will introduce in a moment. And yes, we are pleased to provide the following background on this commemorative coin program. It is Public Law 115-343, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Commemorative Coin Act, that requires the Secretary of the Treasury to mint and issue $5 gold coins, $1 silver coins, and half-dollar clad coins in recognition of the 60th anniversary of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Some background about this sport. It was on December 21st, 1891, when a young physical education instructor named Dr. James Naismith introduced the game of basketball to his physical education class at Springfield College, formerly the YMCA International Training School in Springfield, Massachusetts. In the next 2 years, the YMCA missionaries who were trained at Springfield College were dispatched on their missions around the world with a peach basket and a soccer ball, giving rise early on to the global reach of the game and explaining the roots of the game's worldwide participation. Dr. Naismith's vision was to have basketball be a very inclusive game. We know exactly who, when, and where this game was invented, unlike American football and baseball, where the origins are a bit more nebulous. Basketball has a clear inventor and purpose for the game. Dr. Naismith's purposes for inventing it were to engender teamwork, sportsmanship, fitness, leadership, integrity, respect, and perseverance. These seven values he wanted the game to reinforce are known as the Naismith values. In 1959, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame was founded and dedicated to the game's creator in Springfield, Massachusetts, known as the birthplace of basketball, and became the first and only museum to honor the game at all levels around the world. The hall is recognized throughout the world as the premier institution entrusted with recording and disseminating the history of the game of basketball and recognizing and honoring the achievements of its greatest players, coaches, and contributors. The Act, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Commemorative Coin Act, requires that all three coins be curved, similar to the 2019 Apollo 11 50th anniversary commemorative coins. Additionally, the Act requires the convex side of the coins, the reverse, depict a basketball as a common design across all three. In accordance with the Act, candidate designs for the obverse, or the concave side of these coins, were solicited from artists through a national public design competition. 20 artists' designs are being presented today. These designs are required by the Act to be emblematic of the game of basketball. Required inscriptions include Liberty, In God We Trust, and 2020. I should note that some artists additionally opted to submit designs with other inscriptions, such as Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, and Naismith's core values, or the Hall of Fame's core values, which are preservation, inspiration, and celebration. Some artists also reference, as I mentioned, the Naismith values with inscriptions themselves or other devices. In order to preserve the artistic vision of the competition-submitted designs, but still ensure that the designs are fundamentally coinable, the Mint conducted one round of modifications for coinability concerns. As the designs are presented, we will note necessary modifications to address technical and/or historical accuracy issues. Representatives for this program are with us today, and I'd like to invite the President and CEO of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, John DeLiva, to make some comments to our committee and also introduce his team.
Sure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'd like to thank the committee, first of all, for your time, but also your expertise. We're very excited about this coin. It does commemorate the founding of basketball in Springfield, Massachusetts. And as was said, this is a sport, a major sport around the world. Sometimes we think soccer is first, sometimes we think basketball is first. We think basketball is first around the world and growing. But this was a game invented in Springfield that was meant to be very much inclusionary by Dr. Naismith. He invented this game in December of 1891 at Springfield College, and just 30 days later he was at Smith College teaching women how to play basketball, introducing the game to women. He thought that women were very well suited for this game. He thought this game matched that. He worked with a gentleman called E.B. Henderson down here in Washington, D.C., in the early 1900s. E.B. Henderson learned about the game when he was at Harvard from Dr. Naismith, being at Springfield College. And E.B. Henderson is called the father of black basketball and worked with Dr. Naismith to introduce the game to young African-American men. And I think E.B. Henderson probably has the most understated view of basketball, or you know, kind of the most obvious thing he said at that point, that I think this game is well suited for African American men. And I think as we look back on the history of the game, he was incredibly correct. So Dr. Naismith wanted this game to be very much an inclusive game. Everyone could play. UC basketball, boys, girls, men, women, college, pro, collegiate. The high school game, the international game, all around the world. This game really has become a language, kind of a universal language. We celebrate that at the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm joined here by Don Senecal, our CFO for the Hall of Fame. Don was the one who shepherded this through Congress for the past 2.5 years, so he might look a little tired today, but relieved. And also Robin Bidedeau, development director, and kind of the one-on-point, really, of the communication from day to day for us and has done a great job. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Mint staff and what a joy it has been to work with the Mint staff. We have, I think, and I know, a very great relationship. We go back and forth. We're invited to stretch the boundaries a little bit, but with all due respect, they have a wonderful velvet hammer to keep us inside the box of the various rules that we have here. But our goal is, as I sat with the in our first meeting with the Mint director, was I'd like this to be, unless I'm incorrect on this, I'd like this to be the first coin that sells out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coin. So think about it. I mean, we have all around the world, at any age, this coin is an opportunity to touch people. So if we're all looking for to engage young people about coin collecting, through basketball you can do that. If you're looking at engaging international people about collecting coins, U.S. minted coins, basketball can do that. So we see the bigger picture. It's not just a core market that we have. I think what this it allows us both to stretch ourselves a little bit. And then finally, I'll say that I know at 1:45 today we have a marketing meeting. The Hall of Fame has many platforms, constituencies where the coin, the message of the coin can be shared. We are actually building a brand, with the approval, of course, of the Mint folks. We are building a brand that is going to be utilized. We run collegiate games, a national high school event, golf tournaments. We're at the NBA All-Star Game. We're at the NCAA Final Four. We are building a brand for this over, you know, the 16, 17 months that it will be running once it's introduced at our enshrinement ceremony, by the way, on September 6th in Springfield, on stage at enshrinement. We're building a brand to support that with all the elements of communication that we have. So we feel very confident that this coin will be very, very successful. I take the challenge of being the first sellout very seriously. I appreciate the team that the Mint has provided to us. I appreciate the internal team and Don, all the hard work that you did. We're very excited about this opportunity today, so thank you.
Thank you. We've worked hand in glove with John and his team, and they have offered up 5 obverse designs that are their preferences. One of them is their first preference. I will note that as we move through the portfolio. On all of the designs, our liaisons with the hall have offered commentary, as well as Ron's team from Philadelphia on coinability. So each design may have minor modifications that are needed for coinability or historical and technical accuracy purposes. As we move through the portfolio, I will only note those for the top 5 preferences from the hall, but should any committee member wish to know that information about any of the designs that are otherwise discussed, I'd be happy to provide that as well. I should note that John and his team gave some very important feedback about the designs. These are to be emblematic of the sport, and among some of the feedback was the importance of communicating the global reach of the sport, the inclusivity, and also noting that it is a modern, dynamic, energetic game. Those were among them. So while it has a rich history that dates back pretty far, that was not necessarily the utmost priority for the hall at that time for us to communicate in the designs. But I'd like to ask John if you'd like to add to that list of things that the committee should be considering as we move through the
designs. No, I think it's absolutely right. We had a discussion early on about whether we're celebrating the invention of the game in 1891 basketball, or we're celebrating today's basketball. And I think from our standpoint, we certainly are respective of the history of the game, the inventor, our institution, 70,000 square feet is dedicated to Dr. Naismith and his invention, but that we want to celebrate where that invention has gone today. So it's a much more modern design. We want to obviously appeal, as we had discussions about target markets and constituencies and other elements that we want to reach out to, so we determined that it was more appropriate to have a more modernistic celebration of basketball. And that's where we kind of hope the designs would go, and I think we've got some wonderful designs here.
Wonderful. Thank you. Should we take any questions or go ahead and go through the portfolio?
Let's do the portfolio then.
Okay. So we'll start with the liaison preferences, and we will call these out as we move through the designs. Among the 5 are obverse 1, 2, 9, 10, and 19, with obverse 19 being the hall's first preference. And again, I will stop as we move through the entire portfolio and note the hall's preferences as we move through. But again, the hall provided five preferences, among them obverse 1, 2, 9, 10, and 19, with obverse 19 being their first preference. This is a starting point for our discussion. I know the hall and the representatives are very eager to hear the committee's feedback about the entire portfolio. So we'll start with discussion of obverse 1, which again has been identified as one of the five top preferences by the Hall of Fame. Obverse 1 shows two women and two men playing basketball with a globe in the background representing the sport's worldwide appeal. Below, three spectators animatedly react to a tense moment. These seven figures are a reference to the seven Naismith values, which include teamwork, fitness, leadership, and perseverance. The positioning of the spectators makes it clear that they're close to the action, a unique characteristic of this sport, and the artist chose to represent both players and spectators in the composition so that everyone can see themselves in the design. The Hall of Fame likes the inclusivity, the inclusion of players and fans and representation of both male and female members and figures. They also like the representation of the globe as a reference to the reach of the sport. They noted that the ball might have to be made a tad larger to be accurate. As far as coinability and aesthetic notes from our team in Philadelphia, they would have to adjust the net because it will not be able to touch the outer rim of the coin. We'll have to add a little more space between the characters of the inscription Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, and it would require a consistent inner border around the frame so that it's not broken up as you see here at the bottom of the composition. Moving on, and if I could ask for participants who are joining us by teleconference to mute your phones, please. If you could mute your phones, we would appreciate it. Moving on to obverse 2. This also is a top preference of the five of the Hall of Fame. This design depicts a slam dunk, one of the most exciting plays in the game. The perspective of the design accentuates the concavity of the athlete's body as his legs come forward through the momentum of the dunk. The 60th anniversary of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame is referenced with the number on the player's jersey. The American roots of the game are indicated by the 13 stripes on the soles of each of the shoes. The Hall of Fame commented that they really appreciate the artistic style of this design and the reference to the 60th anniversary and the way that the year 2020 is stacked. They might suggest that the underline in the letter O in the inscription "In God We Trust" be removed and that the basketball text be moved to the side with the Hall of Fame text. Commentary from our coinability team, as well as aesthetic notes from the Mint staff in Philadelphia, include that we'd have to have some adjustments in the word Naismith. The A and the I are a bit too close together, and we would have to add space on some of the other inscriptions. They would like to look at the stacking and the placement of the year 2020 and make sure that that's optimally supporting the design. They agree that we might have to revisit the underline under the letter O, and a note to the committee, we might need to fade the rim near the border a bit more. Okay, again, I'll move on to obverse 3. I will not, again, be reading the Hall of Fame's feedback or the Mint staff's feedback on any design that at present isn't identified as a top preference but can offer those at the committee's request. Obverse 3 shows a basketball hoop with the word Liberty incorporated in the netting, a way to reference that basketball was invented in the United States. The artist selected this primary device element to complement the curvature of the coin as well as the reverse, which must depict a basketball. In the background is a regulation basketball court. Obverse 4 depicts an aerial view of a rim and net utilizing the concave shape of the coin. The design is offered as a complement to the reverse, which will feature the other iconic element of the sport, the basketball itself. Obverse 5 depicts two outstretched hands close to a basketball. Whether the moment is a last-second shot, a jump ball, or a blocked shot, the image captures the energy and excitement inherent in the game. Depicting only the hands underscores the inclusivity of the sport and recognizes all levels of the game: professional, collegiate, high school, recreational, and international. Obverse 6 focuses on the net and the intense action that takes place near it. This could be a rebound shot or a shot in progress. The depiction of hands reflects the universality of the game. Just behind the hands, a semicircle, an arc present on many basketball courts under the net, is shown. The artist's placement of these elements was driven by the concave shape of the coin, which reflects the shape of the net when viewed from above. Obverse 7 depicts a jump ball capturing a powerful image of action with two arms extended to their utmost, dynamically reaching for the basketball. The inspiration for the design is the universal draw of basketball that brings people together through the love of the sport. Obverse 8 features a stylized basketball hoop and a basketball. Inscriptions encircle the design around the border, including Basketball Hall of Fame, delineated by two basketballs on either side. Obverse 9 portrays a stylized compilation of arms shooting different shots, a dunk, a layup, a hook, and a jump shot, to convey the feel of a fast-paced, fun game. The artist elected to show a variety of shots to highlight the fundamental essence of the game, putting the ball in the basket. This, again, is one of the hall's five top preferences. They noted the design and applauded the modern and artistic elements. They appreciated the inclusion of the inscription 1959 for when the hall was founded. And some coinability and aesthetic notes. Have to look at the space between the characters in the inscription "In God We Trust." The RT in the inscription "Liberty" should not intersect the lines of the arms. Some of the border text is a tad too small and would need to be upsized. The inscription "In God We Trust" by as much as 200% perhaps, and the inscription "Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame," both width and height, by as much as 25%. The interior pattern you see here would not be rendered as such in sculpt. We would have to drop the dots. If you have questions about that, Ron Harrigal can further explain. And there would not be proof polish immediately behind the nets. Moving on to Obverse 10, which is another of the top five preferences of the hall. This design centrally depicts two figures near a basket. The six stars arcing across the bottom of the design represent the six decades of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame's existence. The Hall of Fame likes the classic look of this design, the inclusion of the backboard, and the treatment of the 2020 inscription. However, they feel that the depiction of only men playing is a bit limiting and would request that a female player be featured as well, or in a replacement of one of the male players. Coinability and aesthetic notes from our team in Philadelphia. The spacing on the inscriptions, the text, is a bit too tight. We need more space between the characters. It would include upsizing "In God We Trust," and very minorly, the splayed fingers in one of the players' hands would have to be closed up. Verse 11 showcases a spontaneous game of hoops, perhaps during recess. No special gear needed, just the ball and a few kids, and a game can begin immediately. The artist intended for this design to show how one can develop a love of basketball at a young age. Obverse 12 displays a hand that launches a basketball out of this world into deep space. A cosmic ring replaces the traditional basket to create its own planet of basketball. The design features the outline of the city of Springfield, Massachusetts, where the game was invented and where the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame is located, and include the words "Springfield" and 1891, the year Dr. Naismith invented the game. Verse 13 features three basketball players in action, a physical representation of Dr. Naismith's inspirational values. Four of the seven Naismith values are listed around the design: teamwork, respect, fitness, and integrity. His creation of a game that all can play joyously at any skill level, age, or gender is represented in the different figures. Verse 14 features a rim and net with a court in the background with the additional inscriptions Basketball Hall of Fame and Preservation, Inspiration, Celebration. Verse 15 leverages the concavity of the obverse by featuring a net, which in combination with the basketball required on the reverse makes a powerful portrait of the game. The net's opening provides a central location for the required inscriptions. Verse 16 features major elements of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame building, including a large sphere that symbolizes the global reach of the game. Accenting the sphere is an arrow-like vector which depicts the momentum of the ball. In the foreground is a basketball player on offense, moving so fast his individual features are blurred. The ball flowing from his hand is about to go through the hoop in the foreground. Verse 18 heralds the energy and excitement of basketball by depicting the high energy and up-close action of the game. The star represents a basketball team, 5 points for five players. The star also signifies the stars of the sport, acknowledged by the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Verse 19 portrays the intense, hands-on action of the game of basketball, the constant struggle for possession of the ball, and the skill required to overcome the opponent and put the ball through the hoop. The design features three different figures, all reaching for the ball in unison, suggesting how the sport has brought together millions of diverse people from around the world through a simple, universal, and unifying athletic experience. Their arms are intentionally elongated just slightly to emphasize the full exertion of physical and mental effort required to excel in the game. The rim and net are presented as subtle background elements to complement the primary figures. As noted, this is the first preferred design from the Hall of Fame of their five that they have identified. They noted they appreciated this design very much for the inclusive nature, including genders and abilities. They also appreciated the use of the rim as the edge of the coin and felt that the net did not get lost in the design. It's worth noting the uniforms are depicted accurately. They would like to hear about potentially applying a different treatment for the inscription 2020 and incorporating Basketball Hall of Fame as an inscription, perhaps. Feedback from our Mint team in Philadelphia regarding coinability and aesthetic comments. The basketball cannot intersect with the outer rim. Legs running over the border may need to shift them to make the border cleaner due to the concave shape of the coin. Border elements cannot extend out to the border in the same way that we do with other coins. And the black channels, the black in the channels of the basketball would need to be lighter, more within a tonal range. And finally, obverse 20 centrally features a basketball. I apologize, there are two more. Obverse 20 centrally features a ball with an image of a globe to symbolize the global outreach of the sport. The ball has passed through the hoop and net, representing the path from the past to the present to the future of the sport. The netting is detached and broken in particular areas. Following clockwise along the circular shape of the net on the outermost layer, the word Naismith can be seen. Memorial is depicted in the second layer and basketball in the innermost layer. Hall of Fame is inscribed between the central basketball and the net using a similar pattern inspired by the net. And finally, verse 21 depicts an aerial view of a basketball hoop. Looking down, the viewer sees the rim of the hoop through the inside of the net. This design, in conjunction with the concave shape of the obverse, is meant to convey a feeling of depth. And that concludes the obverse designs, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, April. And before we move on, just for attendance purpose, Robert Hogue, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, are there any technical questions from the committee before we move on to designs and discussion? Seeing none, fine. Ron Hergel, are there any technical questions on your side that we should be aware of?
None at this point. I mean, these designs are from external artists, and we have addressed coinability to them. Not all the revisions have been incorporated in this design. It is their concepts. And so there will be slight changes of the design based on what the committee preferences are.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. When I introduced myself to John, Robin, and
John.
I mentioned that I had gone to a small basketball school, the University of Kentucky, and I think they understood that. And so I'm going to start out, with a Boilermaker. And why don't we start out with Mr. Mike Moran on the phone. And, Mike, do you want to pick up on that or dribble, whatever you want to do?
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick up on that.
Take the shot?
I've got season tickets.
I know. I've traded him some coins for basketball tickets, just so you know.
Yeah, Tom gets when I'm not down, Tom refuses my tickets. Okay, I'm just going to talk about the ones that I like, and the one that is my favorite is number two. I think that is a really dynamic image. While basketball is certainly a team sport, when you look at the basketball players today, it's made up of a lot of individuals. They play together, but you think of people like Anthony Davis, former UK player, but there are others that are really good. You go back, and we had one on our committee, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I saw him play, so I beat the tar out of Purdue. Michael Jordan. To me, this image is good. I think it is reasonably coinable. I like the idea of the feet coming at you. I've seen these kinds of dunks all the time, every game that I go to watch. And I think the way it will show up on the concave surface will be excellent. I'm not a fan of number nine. I get it. It's nice. It's modern. But that's not me. You can think me the water, but I'm not going to drink it. Not anyway. Let's talk about 19, the Hall of Fame favorite. It's also one of mine. But as I listen to Ron talk about bleeding into the edges, and I get that. You're asking the men to do something that the technology is not there to support with this design. The other thing is that when you look at the reverses, and I know that we need to choose these things individually, but I'm addressing the need for the Naismith Hall of Fame to be in there in the inscriptions. And I can't get it there as I look at this obverse. Without cluttering it and losing some of the design. I'll be voting for it, but I really have some issues. I think that it won't look as good as it is rendered here on the page. Number 18, don't vote for it, simply because that guy's about to get called for fumbling the ball and he's going to turn it over. That's it, Tom.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mike. Thank you. Moving along, Dr. Dean Kalotsky.
I am going to... I applaud the artists for what they have what they've done in giving us a real diversity here of designs to look at. As I look through these the first time, I was drawn to... I really do like the classic design of number 10. And I know that is one of the favorites, although it's not the identified favorite. I do like, in number 1, the inclusion of the spectators. And I think number 19 is very striking as well. And I think I have... I know we're not supposed to talk about the reverses yet, but I think I have stronger preferences with the with the reverses than with the obverses. So I just want to raise one issue about number 19, and I don't want to, you know, invite any controversy here, but we were looking at a coin during my first meeting, and we were talking a little bit about how you pick people of different abilities in a way that's respectful. And I don't have any issue here, but I'm just wondering if that's a concern. It's not really a concern of mine, but I'm just kind of interested in if anybody has any insights. Because I think it is very striking that you have three very different people, you know, with these elongated arms stretching and striving. And the symbolism is very powerful.
Thank you, Dean. Eric.
Is this mic on?
Are the members still on the phone?
It just disconnected.
I think we lost the call.
Anyone on the call? Okay, we can pause, Mr. Chairman, if you like.
Sure.
If you need technical assistance during your call, press star zero. After the tone, please state your name, followed by the pound sign. Thank you. There are 17 parties in conference, including you.
Okay, this is the United States Mint. Do we still have folks on the line? Maybe we want to start with the CCAC members to ensure that they're there.
Yeah, and they said 17 are on the line. That's what we started with. Just verify, Robert Hogue, present. Robert? Dennis Tucker?
Present. Dennis Tucker.
Thank you. Michael Moran?
Present.
Thank you. We'll follow back up. Robert probably takes a little longer to catch on, to connect. Okay, we were moving to Eric. Eric, thank you.
Thank you for
the interruption.
With all due respect to our chair and the prior speaker from Kentucky, I'm 6 foot six, and I came from the real place of basketball, and that would be Indiana. That's right across the river from
this
Kentucky.
This doesn't have Bobby on here.
We're
I'm
often
sorry.
To remind you.
He'd love
Bobby
to be on
Knight.
He'd be throwing a chair.
We could have a senior chair.
Like I said, they throw things over the river at us all the time. On to the task at hand here. I have two comments directed to the Mint, and this is real requests and recommendations. We obviously are charged to follow the mission as defined by Congress and the Hill on programs like this. However, to the extent that we have input back to them, I have two messages that I'd ask the Mint to consider carrying back up to the Hill. One, programs where we have one design for all three sized coins create a real missed opportunity. What we can do on a large silver pallet, inch and a half approximately in diameter, versus what we can do on a gold pallet approximately the size of a nickel, are totally different missions. So to have one piece of art, we necessarily fail on the silver, and we have to accommodate the gold because it's such a small pallet. So I can't speak for the committee, but in the experience of history here, to the extent we can recommend Congress not pick one design fits all, we'll be able to do a better job. Second point I'd like to make is I think we've missed the boat here on this legislation, just like we did on the prior athletic convex coin. And that is there's not a product for general circulation here. Let me paint a picture for you. If someone goes to a basketball game and they buy a drink or a slice of pizza or something that's concession, if there was a circulating version of this, let's just say a flat, non-concave, minimized cost, get a product out that could be given in change at the concession stand, we would go 10 times further, faster, better towards attracting new collectors and, quite honestly, painting a picture that this program offers coinage for the general population. We always struggle with price points to cover costs and surcharges, but if such a coin could have been put out there through the Fed at circulating face value, this program would have sold itself. As it is, and I'm going to recommend strongly to the Naismith executives here, you're going to have to market this hard. It will not sell itself. Your primary moneymaker will probably be the silver dollar because of price point and popularity. The gold will not sell a lot. You'll be lucky if you sell 2,000 or 3,000 of these. It's the silver dollar that's your moneymaker here. Market it aggressively, and you'll do much, much better. So thank you for indulging my comments there. As I went through this portfolio, first of all, a couple of comments. I found there were many, many cases, and I think a public submission process is a wonderful way of injecting new spirit and ideas. However, I would encourage the artist to pay close attention to the ergonomics. I am a ball player. I was played to dribble with my eyes closed through my legs and make a shot without even knowing where the basket is. The hands, the gestures in so many of these drawings are not, they're just not right. And so they're very, very distracting to me. Second of all, I found there were a number of trite symbols. It was very easy to accommodate a net, but this coin is not about a net. This coin needs to be about energy. To that end, I very quickly winnowed this down to a few designs that in many cases were overlapping the preferences of the Naismith people. So I'll address the ones that, that I think deserve consideration and let the others go. A thinking man's coin here, or a thinking woman's coin, a thinking player's coin would be design 1, design 19, potentially design 10. However, thinking designs will not sell this coin. Action designs will sell this coin. There's only one coin that truly, only one design that truly carries that forward here. And I was extremely pleased that design number 2 was a preference, because to me, this is a no-brainer design for this coin. It, a coin has to convey a feeling, and it will be a sculptor's challenge to convey the feeling on the player's face, mouth open with teeth. Heidi Wasweet, an ex-member of this committee, would have said to us, be careful, it's going to look like a rabbit. We saw that in the Ronald Reagan dollar. We've seen that in many coins where it's an open mouth with teeth. This is a sculptor's challenge. The second challenge will be the eyes are closed. That's a very, very small feature on, with the gold, an extremely small coin. With the silver dollar, it'll be a little bit easier to see. But this is a coin of energy. To me, it's the only coin that, that answers the charge to make this a coin which will satisfy the buyer that wants to replicate the feeling, the energy, the spark, the moment of scoring, which is what basketball is about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. And I agree, we have a similar issue with 6 coins, with the Apollo not having different designs.
Yes.
And
it's been a lesson that we seem to fail to learn. I mean, lawyers that want to be artists, how about artists that want to be lawyers?
Okay.
Neither or.
Okay. Ron, do you have any comments on the planchet sizes as it relates to any of these designs that you'd like to get out before we continue on with our discussion?
I think Eric hit it on the head when he said that, you know, you have the designs have to accommodate both the silver dollar size as well as the gold, which is 0.850 size of a nickel. So, yeah, we have to, a lot of these comments are more geared towards on the smallest size when we talk about having to respace text and upsize the text. So
you'll focus on what needs.
Yeah, and
to be
we focused. we do have you know, successful programs that have the same design, but we also have unsuccessful. We have the, you know, the gold bullion and the buffalo American buffalo series and that. But again, those are collected for different reasons. It's, you know, we had breast cancer, it had the same designs, and we have had the Apollo and that. And yes, there are pros and cons definitely there. But yeah. Accommodating the smallest size is really what we look at when we talk about spacing of text and the size of the text and what we can actually do from an engraving standpoint.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Robert, excuse me one second. Don?
Sorry, can I ask a question to Greg?
Yes.
Are you sure there's no workaround? Are we stuck with one design for all three? There's no workaround?
I'll let my colleague April Whitaker comment, but it's in the legislation.
Right.
No way to get
there's a common, but it specifically says common obverse, common reverse.
That's too bad.
I think
it's a tragedy.
I think that gets back to the education side on this. They have great ideas, but when it comes down to the specific, and I think that we're doing a better job of getting the message out to the Congress people that, you know, to be a little bit more, look beyond just the topic and just beyond what they're trying to accomplish. So I think Betty's doing it, you know, getting that word out there much more now than it had been before. So, Robert, are you on the phone?
Did we lose everybody again?
Hello?
Michael?
I'm here.
Okay, Robert, we'll come back. I don't think
I emailed Robert, so hopefully he'll get
Mary.
The message.
These were challenging for me, mostly because I'm like under 5'6". But anyway, I too liked number 2. I agree with what Eric said. And I also did like the favorite, which is number 19. When we look at our large scale drawings and see them representative of the actual size that they'll be, I think, you know, Ron, is this right? I think that 19 will work for coinability.
Absolutely. I mean, we, you have to look at that, that the rim depicted there is going to be inside the border.
Right.
So the artwork would have to, you know, it would be coined as shown there. As you get close to the border, we just have to fade the artwork down. So there's not a lot of detail there. I think we'll be okay. And we also have to keep in mind that this has to be a proof point and an uncirculated coin. So that when we look at the field on here, we have the net structure that's on the field. Now, typically on a proof coin that would be polished, we'd have to look at some way to depict the net, maybe with like a laser texture or something like that, that would show the net on the polished field for the proof coin, and also allow it to be like a burnished finish for the uncirculated.
Well, I like this one very much because of the inclusion. All three people are equally going for the same basketball. You know, so there's really not a barrier, whether it's ability, disability, or gender. And so they're all going for the same thing. So that was what was really important to me on this. In terms of just something that I found was interesting that we haven't talked about is number four. I just thought that was a really, it was a beautiful design. It was simple. And I thought that the shading on it was very interesting, and that it would certainly go along with any reverse that we would pick. So my choices would be number two, possibly with his eyes open. I don't know why his eyes are closed.
That's actually what happens to the human mind when you stuff.
But it's weird to look at, Eric.
I know.
It's just weird to look at. I'm sorry. So, and number 19. And that's all.
Thank you.
Well, I went kind of in the opposite direction. I really like the net. And thinking of that imagery as being more artistic, I guess. And also how some words were woven into the net. So number three, number four, number 15, and number 20 intrigued me. Number 20 in particular. I couldn't find all the letters in it, but I would think that would be enough of a challenge to people who collect coins such as this, that it would develop more interest in people wanting to get it so that they could find the letters. I could be totally wrong on that, but I thought it was very interesting. The idea of this being an universal symbol of the game, along with the basketball, I think was important to me. And just how it was depicted was different than most of the other designs. I also liked number 19, if a design with people in it, for all of the reasons that have been already addressed. And of course, making sure that the design works with the final coin itself. So those, I like those five choices. 3, 4, 15, 19, and 20.
Thank you.
Robert.
Not on yet. I thought I heard him on. Sam, go to Sam.
Well, first I commend the artists. They're all very interesting to me. I'll just go through my top two or three here. I like number two. I think that to Eric's points, it's certainly marketable. Number two is. And I like number 19. I like the inclusiveness about it, and I like the competition. I went with activity. I looked at the coins that had activity on them. And I focused my preference on number 10 for these reasons. It shows a competition between two players. That's kind of how I think of basketball. And then I like the fact that it mentions the NASIP Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. And I just think that this would, and it's got the rim up there and the net, and I think it would just make a very beautiful coin.
Okay, Sam, thank you. Donald.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, you know, a compliment to everyone. Is there a mic? A compliment to everyone who submitted these designs, and I think they did a fabulous job with the designs. And everyone who submitted a design, we should absolutely send them an application for the Artist Infusion program next year, and be sure they apply. They did a great job, and they were very creative designs. And you all know particularly which ones I like the most, right? So so number one. Number two, I really think we all need to focus on the fact that this is a concave coin, right? So, you know, while some of the designs like this one might look great if the coin were flat, you know, when you know, you really have to, you really have to, your mind has to really bend it and ask how's it going to look as a concave, and then you're kind of stuck with it in all three coins. So whatever we pick, it's got to work with all three sizes, right? So the two things we have to think of, one we have to use our mind for, which is the concaveness, right? And the other, we have the advantage of using this little board to see, which is the size of the palette. And we always have difficulty with the size of the palette. And unfortunately, you have to look at the smallest size that we're given, which is the gold. So we can't be too cluttered and crowded because of the gold. So that's the real tragedy of one design for all three coins, unfortunately. But that's what it is. We don't decide that. Our boss decides that. Our boss is Congress. So all of that being said, you know, I look at these designs, and of course, you know, you all know the design. You know, I probably don't even have to say which one that I like. You all know I think number 9 is great. Right, I think it's a great basketball coin. I think there's a lot. It has so much going for it as a coin, as a design. I could see why you like number 2. I think it's going to be a challenge to sculpt it. But I mean, we absolutely have the talent. You know, to sculpt this. So there's no question we have the talent to do it, but it will be a challenge. And probably in a concave coin, this might be cool. You know, so while they may say, oh, somebody just gave
I'm
me...
I'm passing it down so it gets down to Juan and everybody so that you can see that. Now, that's the half-dollar plancha.
This is the half-dollar plancha.
That's right. Right?
Yeah.
We've got you have it down.
Thank you.
So what 2 has going for it, right, it's a simple, you know, it's relatively simple. It's one element. So for the smaller designs, you know, it's more simple for the smaller designs than for the larger designs. What I'm concerned about for 19, which I have to be the one to articulate this because I'm the Democrat on the committee, and I have to, and I'm the appointee of the Democrat, right? So I should be the one to say this, but I have to say this, right? It's too politically correct. And it's a 2020 coin, right? Which is like the wrong year to be to have a politically correct coin, you know. So I really have to be the one to say this. Nobody else can say this, and I have to be the one to say it. All right. I just don't know that it's the right thing to do at that time. So I would caution, you know, you to think about that, because you're going to be the one selling it in 2020 is when you're going to sell it, right? So that's my concern. And I think if you play with it, you know, it might be kind of cool in a concave way, because, you know, you'll play with it, you'll get it, you know, you'll smoosh it a little bit. And it might be kind of cool. Design-wise, on the gold, it's going to be kind of squishy on the gold. And it's going to even be a little squishy on the half dollar. So there's a lot going on there. Three figures. The basketball is going to be teeny tiny. On the gold, the basketball is going to be really tiny, teeny. So even from a design point of view, there's just a lot going on there for the gold one, and maybe too much even for the little half dollar. So for the silver dollar, you're fine. So, but anyway, my concern with that is what I said. So I think, you know, and as much as I like number one, because you all know I kind of like number one, I really like number one for the dollar, but I've got the same concern with number one for the gold and for the half dollar. There's a lot going on there, although I think number one is really cool. I think number one works. So, you know, I also think, you know, Robin made a really good comment about the baskets. I mean, I do think the baskets would work fabulously, and if in fact we had the ability to have separate designs, yes, I would absolutely put the basket on the gold, on the little
perfect
gold.
Yes,
it's perfect for the little gold.
Yes,
unfortunately, we don't have that flexibility.
I know. I know, which is why I was hoping for Greg and his battery of legal interns who are here with us for the summer to
wave the magic wand,
to maybe come up with some hook.
We would love to be able to use the gold as the thematic carrier and the silver and the half as the action character carrier, but we don't have that flexibility.
I know. I mean, because the basket, that basket one that Robin is talking about, would be great for the gold. It would really make a great gold coin. You know, and I'm trying to stick with the four, because I think you all did a fabulous, you've clearly done your homework, and you've clearly done a great job, you know, and you've put a lot of thought into it, and you know, you put a lot of time into this, you know, and I guess, and what I'm going to say to you, really is, you have all the makings of a winner here, and you've got a top baseball, because, you know, baseball, just so you know, baseball, the baseball half dollar won a Coin of the Year award after a 7-year dry spell for the United States Mint without winning an award. The baseball won a Coin of the Year award. So, you know, now you can't always control how an award gets won, but you can control selling out.
So you want to follow the hit up with a slam dunk.
Exactly. So,
Mr. Chairman, can I respond?
Sure,
I definitely want you to respond, and I want you to, and I want to hear, and I want to hear your opinion, and I would love also to call upon the Mint's marketing people,
sure,
marketing director as well. I'd like to put you on the spot with a question about marketing this thing, and what you think, and what our marketing director,
sure,
thinks as well, would sell the best.
Right. So let me respond, if I could, first to the politically correct aspect of your comments, and I get what you're saying there. I will tell you, you know, we only have to rewind 6 days and think about the women's national soccer team.
Thank you.
And what the impact of that was, and I will tell you that quietly, but soon, I'm sure, to bubble up will be the women's basketball side as well. We reviewed this with several Hall of Famers. You know, we induct both men and women, players, coaches, contributors. In fact, we made up the first sample we made to go to Congress and try to hype this thing up. We had none other than Jerry West, Bob Cousy. We had Kareem. We had Karl Malone and did I say Cousy? Who was the fifth? Jerry West. So if we have five images on the coin to go to Congress and say we could do something like this, and we take it back to the Hall of Fame and we show a collection of our Hall of Famers, and the women go, something missing. There's something missing here. It's a big part of the game, the women's game. I think from a marketing standpoint and from a, and this is perhaps something that this committee doesn't worry about, but from a commentary standpoint, from a newsworthy standpoint, I think not giving consideration to having a woman represented on this coin would be a risk.
Great. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes.
Don, anything further?
I'd like to hear
the
from
the marketing side.
My marketing question for you and for our marketing. Which design? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
And you know, because now you've heard a lot of commentary,
right?
And you've heard a lot of what we all think. But I really want to sell out on this, and I'm happy with
why don't we ask some design? Comment when we finish?
Okay.
Let's do it that way.
Okay. I'll hold
Jeannie
the question until the end.
Okay.
Yes.
Jeannie.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My initial response to this portfolio, which is, I think, outstanding, and I have to agree with Robin. I loved the basket because, you know, it seemed to fit with our shape. But I must say, to listen to the stakeholders, to listen to your passion about what we need to have represented in inclusion and everything about basketball, you have certainly inspired me to change my mind. So thank you very much. And I was very happy to, once I changed my mind, to know that your preference was number 19, because I do think that that's the most inclusive. But what concerns me about this is, as Donald said, you have such a lot of information on a small coin, the gold. The other thing that concerns me is how are we going to get all of the Naismith Memorial on that coin?
Just a note, it's certainly not a requirement, and I know that our representatives from the hall are open to the possibility of it not. It was just something that they said it would be preferable, but right. I don't know that it's a requirement, especially given the various sizes.
We had discussion about the packaging that the coins would come in,
okay, so
and
that
the collateral materials that would go with it, and telling the Naismith story to a great extent. So. Our thought process was a very impactful coin that represents the entire game on both sides of the coin, and provide those additional materials once a purchase is made and during the marketing process of marketing to people, that we kind of tell the whole story. But you can't, I don't think, tell the whole story with two sides of a coin. So it gives us the opportunity to then educate beyond that.
Okay, thank you very much. I truly like number 19 because of its inclusion, and I also like number 1 because number 1 is a little bit more contemporary, and I think it probably would strike convincingly. We have, you know, the action of the spectators and the action of the players, and we have the inclusion of the various genders. So, you know, I'm going to support 19. 1 and 2 in number 2 because it is so dynamic. The only problem with number 2 is we don't have a woman on there. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Yes?
Just a thought here. Because I think the spec that went out to the public had the date, "In God We Trust and Liberty" as the required elements, I assume that once we harmonize a design here with the opposition side, will then address where we're going to drop potentially the values, the Naismith Memorial basketball, and so forth. So text is not the issue here. It's really the artistic design. The second thing is, I have a question on number 20, design number 20, and I mentioned this to Robin. I think the artist misspelled Naismith. If I'm not. What, the correct spelling is N-A-I?
That's correct. And, it's
and
something,
I think this
of course,
is N-I-A.
That's correct. And we did notice that it was something that we thought we could speak to, and of course it would be remediated should
I'm certainly not advancing this, but we're going to end up going into design by committee mode, which is almost always a mess.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, Dennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can everyone hear me?
You're very good, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I want to add my voice to what Eric said. I think he spoke very eloquently and summed up some of the issues that we face with the legislation coming out of Congress. The limitation of having a single obverse and reverse pair of designs for three different coins, not only from a technical standpoint of that, you know, as we've discussed, having to design for the smallest template, the $5 gold, there's that issue, but we're also missing out on an opportunity to really broaden a program's scope and appeal and tell the story, as we sometimes say, across six different campuses rather than just two. So I'm a little disappointed that we continue to see that kind of legislation coming out, and I hope that can change it. The idea of having a coin for circulation is interesting as well. I mean, this would make a wonderful circulating quarter dollar. But of course, that gets into other congressional entanglements and as required. So, as I was going through these designs, I was struck by the fact that every commercial die-making firm in the United States has an inventory stock of basketball designs, right? We see them in school awards and medals for competitions. We see a lot of basketballs swishing into nets, balls approaching nets, hands gripping basketballs. So when I was looking at these designs, I run more towards anything that leaves those parameters behind and leaves those cliches behind. I really liked number 2, number 13, and number 19. Number 2 has the energy that Eric was talking about that a lot of us noted. Number 19, I love the inclusive aspects of it. I don't think political correctness would really be an issue here. I think that would broaden the market and the appeal of the design. And again, this just kind of illustrates how if we had three obverse reverse pairs to work with, we would be able to tell a lot more of the story of basketball, and include both the energetic one and the inclusive one and third design. I'm curious to get the mixed feedback on the design side and also our liaison's feedback on designs that were not among their top five choices. I'm curious to hear what they thought of number 13. For me, that one stood out for its use of the...
It's a nice one.
The Naismith... focus on teamwork, respect, fitness, integrity. Those legends are things that we don't see in every design. And here it is spelled out. I like the fact that it's spelled out here. So it kind of elevates basketball to more than just a game or a pastime and gets to some of the important, the other important aspects that Naismith was going for with basketball. Can you read for us the comments on 13?
Absolutely. From our colleagues at the Hall of Fame, they complimented this design for depicting the diversity of figures and the inclusion of some of the Naismith principles. However, they noted that the basketballs in the background were reading to them more like volleyballs in the way that the figures are interacting with them, and noted that the proportions of the ball to the figures would also have to be adjusted. From the team in Philadelphia for coinability as well as aesthetic commentary, the inscription "In God We Trust" would have to be upsized, as well as the inscription "Liberty," And I'll ask Ron to comment. We have a note that we cannot have the foot over the zero in 2020. So in the lower area, I don't know, Ron, if you had anything you wanted to add.
In addition to that, I would think that the net creates a bit of a challenge making a proof and a uncirculated coin. And I think similar to number 19, we'd have to look at some sort of maybe using a laser texture for the net feature in the background. I think outside of that, you have the single depicted circle for the border. We'd have to define whether that is truly a bead or a change in elevation, and then that would affect how we'd have to sculpt that foot. From that perspective, I think I agree with all the other comments.
Thank you, Ron and April. I'm kind of torn here. I really like number 19. I think it's a great design from the perspective of the game being inclusive and welcoming many different kinds of players and participants and spectators. There's great appeal in that. From a marketing perspective, I think number 2 is the most exciting, the most energetic, and probably would be one that really resonates on a visceral level with a big audience. So 2 and 19 are the strongest candidates in my opinion.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
All right.
And is Robert, are you available on the phone?
Robert just informed me by email that he can hear everything we're saying, but we seem to be having trouble hearing him.
Robert, if you would like to then document through email, since we can't hear you, that you could score and make your comments.
Is your phone muted, Robert? Can you check your mute on your phone?
Unmute.
Robert?
Well, while they're checking on that, I'll just make a couple comments, and then we'll ask him one more time. If not, we can do it via email through your – you guys can communicate. I, too, first of all, everyone's mentioned the motion and what we have here, and that's exciting. And I was originally pretty much going with that, and I like 19 as well. Those were my two picks, as well as, like, the net, you know, just too bad. But on this one, I also like the fact that you kind of bring Special Olympics into this as well, you know, into the fray of the entire marketing aspect of this as well. And I almost feel that the basketball shouldn't even be there. I think if you have the basketball on the reverse, it could be something where they are reaching for. And I think I'm going to lean now more towards 19 because it does do what I think the stakeholders would like to see it do. And then at the end, if you have any other comments on the basketball thought there, once we look at the reverse designs, then we can make some comments from there. I will give you a marketing idea, though, when we go into the marketing side of this.
Robert.
Loud and clear.
Robert, is that you?
Hey. Sorry.
Okay, Robert, I'm going to save my thoughts for the end on the marketing side, but if you have some comments you'd like to make regarding the designs. Okay, we're
going to... Hey, Tom, this is Mike.
Yes, sir.
This is a good time for me to break. I got to go get a radiator.
All right, well...
We've got his ballot already.
We have it. Thank you very much. Catch up with you in a little while.
Robert, can you hear us?
Well, what I was going to say as it relates to marketing, if you could get, now, this is a stretch, but you know how all of these slab companies are doing what they're doing with autographs and so forth? And you mentioned about the collateral materials that you're going to have as it relates to this. What if you guys had 50 basketball players do 1,000 signatures and randomly place different signatures within the basketball coins themselves? just a thought.
We've got a partnership with Panini Card Company, and we are speaking with them about how best to market this opportunity.
If you had autographs in there that were personalized, like the Slabbing Company's doing, you're doing it in advance, I think you'll have collectors really going after just seeing what one they would end up with.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Thank you.
We are also advised that has to be a secondary market issue.
For the offers. Pardon me?
That has to be a secondary offer, market, because it can't be packaged that way. That's what we're going to advise.
From the Mint. We would then have to purchase those.
Well, the Mint can do what they want on that, can't they? we'll discard that from the Mint.
that discussion probably
doesn't belong with
that. Right. But anyhow, you guys work that out. If it can ever be done, these guys can help if it can be done, if it can be worked. But anyhow, is there any other discussion?
Your comment about removing the basketball from 19, I dare enter the chasm called design by committee, but I'll say the following. I think there was a discussion a bit ago when we were dealing with designs for the Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness, or perhaps it was before that, designs where there was a design with a young person reaching out to hold a dove. And the question was, is the dove there? Is the reach there? And we toyed with, does the dove need to be there? And then the comment was made, well, then it won't be clear what they're reaching for. And I think the ball is of the essence for that, because the game is not about, honestly, the game is not about the score. The game is about the technique and the pursuit of scoring. And without the ball being there, you lose half of the story. So I would question that. And my next comment would be, if we are to go with what is a politically correct design here, number 19, I think, one, we should be adding a young child to this one, because most of the basketball players in this country didn't start in college. They started as a young child. And I think much of the interest in this country, as soccer has proven to us, has to start when the kids are there. So if we're going to do truly political correctness, I think we need a child added as a fourth player.
Back to design by committee.
Okay, absolutely. It's a total mistake.
Yeah, okay. If everyone would please turn in your score sheets, we'll take a four.
The question. I asked the question about the market.
Sure.
I wanted to hear, based on that, now you've heard everything that we've all had to say, and I'd like to hear from the Mint's marketing and from you, because I'm going to put you on the spot, and quite frankly, I'm going to vote for the one you think you can sell out, or that you, the one that you, if you both agree, if you both agree on a design that you think you can sell out, that's the one I'm voting for. So do you both agree on which of these designs you think you can sell out?
Well, we certainly haven't talked about this before, so it's a good question. From my standpoint of running the Hall of Fame for 20 years and seeing the growth of the women's game specifically, and how important it is and how it is becoming the forefront of basketball and issues, I do feel strongly that we should have representation of all that play. I'm not sure about a child. I think this can be aspirational. Children can look to play when they're in college, or if this is a pro player, become a pro player, or something like that. I look at it from the standpoint of our vision is to introduce this at enshrinement. And I'm thinking that when we unveil to our vast audience of 2,500 people at enshrinement, made up of men and women coaches across the whole international space of basketball, my gut feeling is that if we unveil one that does not have a woman represented on either side of this coin, we've swung and missed. So from a saleability standpoint, I think we take some percentage of that market opportunity away. I think the wheelchair basketball, which goes beyond Special Olympics, goes to USA basketball and the Olympic team and Paralympics. And I think that group would be very pleasantly surprised that they are included in this. They often feel that they're not thought of. We've had NBA players sit in wheelchairs and try to play basketball. You can't do it. So the skill level is beyond that of all of us lucky to be able to be mobile. So I'm leaning towards the more inclusive And understanding what James Naismith was all about when he designed this game. So it's kind of that message as well. Mm-hmm. So that's where I come from. Is it the most saleable? I can certainly see saleability for number two, but I can see us starting with a headwind mm-hmm. if we had number two.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Tyatt, so
I don't have a vote. Let me be very clear.
What's that?
I'll be very clear that I don't have a vote, nor will I proffer one.
And as your counsel, I'll let you know that there are other opinions, obviously, that will go into your marketing decisions as well. The secretary will obviously make a selection of this design, and this Commission of Fine Arts will have an opinion on this tomorrow as well.
What I am comfortable saying, without clearing through legal first, which is always great about ad hoc public meetings, is the reality of sales has nothing to do with my opinion of the design or its elements. My experience in selling products, both financial and physical and tangible and intangible products in 20 years, is if you can represent the voice of the customer adequately and you have the support of the customer properly aligned, the sales will happen. And any one of these designs, whether it's inclusive or not, will sell, depending on the support and the collaboration and just our sheer will to be successful, which I think is appropriate in a sports theme. We've all, if you've played sports, have had that last second pep talk, the Bobby Knight experience, right?
I think he coaches at Texas Tech.
Hey, he was a West Point guy.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, see, so I'm a little biased.
Not coaching English anymore.
So my point to that is, whatever John and Rob and Don pick up, the U.S. men's marketing team is going to be behind it, and we'll make it successful, and we'll sell a heck of a lot of product. I will say, as someone who I can't walk and dribble a basketball, so I can't speak to the elements of the technique being displayed. But what I can say as someone who's a member of a USA disabled section of sports, the inclusiveness, I think, is something that's rarely achieved. As someone who has a daughter in sports, supporting women in sports and other minorities through sports speaks to what Naismith set out to do originally, as described by April in the original reading. And I think that gives us a broader marketing opportunity if we choose to leverage it properly. That I like. As far as the design elements, there's some spectacular design. Number 9, number 1 are very unique and different and non-typical. That I think if you're chasing an award, offers some opportunity. I think the other ones that are traditional also capture the essence of playing a competitive sport or overcoming a disability or being inclusive of, quite frankly, the entire U.S. or the global reach. You can play basketball in a desert. You can play basketball in Alaska. You can play it with any economic backing that you have, unlike my sport of choice that is largely biased to an income base. You know, I like hockey and figure skating, and those are expensive, and there's economic disparity that prohibits people from joining. Baseball, soccer, and basketball have the appeal because they hit all audiences. Our product offering, yes, we spoke to the dynamics of the legislation, but the reality is these designs, with John's support, we can tell any number of stories, and they all give us the ability to tell a story from a different perspective to each audience and still be true to the independent design. And for me, that's huge. So I hope that adequately answers your question.
No, you did a good job fielding that difficult question. And thank you. And I think.
Thank you, Matthew.
We were coming back to my turn. And just to sum up my view, because I want to be crystal clear, I'm going to go with you on 19. But I just want to be crystal clear, you know, I want to go for the best shot that you believe is you're going to be able to sell out. You know, but it's going to rely on the Mint to really do something special here, because absent something special, probably my guess, because I like to win awards, and my guess for the award winner would be 2 or 9. All right, so...
I agree with you for that time.
Two or nine. are the award winners.
Yep.
But I'm leaving it now in the Mint's hands for 19. And the more important thing, I believe, is you work really hard on this, and selling out's important. More important than the award in this particular case.
Thank you, Don. Dr. Kudlowski.
Really quick point here. I'm sorry the marketing people left, but I'm sure the word will get to them. Market this aggressively in the Philippines. I taught in the Philippines on a Fulbright. I do Philippine history. It is the national sport of the Philippines. They are crazy about basketball. Absolutely crazy about it. And so this just goes, again, to the global reach. It's often overlooked, I think, in terms of what countries we're thinking about. And again, relatively speaking, you know, it is a poorer country. This is an easy sport to pick up, among other things.
Thank you, Dean. That's a good point.
Just for the record, we do have marketing representation from the Mint still in the room, so that will indeed get back to all of that team. And as well, we've been talking with John DeLiva and his team about the potential markets and outreach and ways to connect throughout the world and which countries might be among those. He's been sharing that kind of information with
Southeast
the team.
Southeast Asia is a key target for us. China, there's more people that play on registered teams, not just in their backyard, but more people that play on registered teams in China than there are citizens of the United States. So the marketplace over there.
Can you say that again?
There are more people that play on registered teams, signed up for teams, it's not playing in your backyard or shooting with your child or grandchild, than there are citizens in the U.S.
Wow.
So the marketplace is huge and awesome. And, you know, we'll take a look at the marketing materials and how we market to a foreign audience in terms of what is the collateral.
Would this coin carry a tariff?
Sorry?
Would this coin sold into China carry a tariff?
I don't know that.
Different subject.
We'd be looking into that. I'd want to get our sales operations and marketing teams together before positing on that.
That would be on the Chinese side. Yeah.
No. Pam, were you going to say something? No, okay. All right. Everyone, please turn in to our counsel, Mr. Greg Wyman, your scoring sheets, and we'll take a five-minute break.
Okay, how about, let's make it 10 minutes.
Okay. Let's just say 11:30. 11:30.
He
said, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for Roger's
guidance. I'm pulling you up.
And then sure, two numbers change.
I could have gone.
Against West Virginia, that's right.
No. So it's a good steakhouse there. If you ever get a chance to get to the Greenbrier, you'd like it.
Okay.
I'd like to call on our counsel now, Greg Wyman, for the results of the selections.
Okay, the recommended, the voting is in, and as a reminder, especially to our guests, the voting is a tool that's used to gauge the interest of the CCAC. It's not in and of itself a recommendation, and the CCAC has, although the CCAC has generally had a rule that to gain the committee's recommendation outside of a separate motion, it should be at least 50% plus one of interest, and there are two designs that meet that. I'll go through in order, though, if you're ready. Obverse number one received 8 votes, and this is out of a maximum of 33. Obverse number two received 18 votes, which would actually meet your threshold. Obverse number three received 4. Obverse number four received 6. Obverse number five received 1. 6 received 1. 7 received 1. 8 received 1 vote. 9 received 2 votes. Obverse 10 received 8 votes. Obverse 11 received 2 votes. Obverse 12 received 1 vote. Obverse 13 received 5 votes. Obverse 14 received 2 votes. Obverse 15 received 3 votes. Obverse 16 received 2 votes. Obverse 18 received 3 votes. Obverse 19 received 26 votes, making it the highest vote getter. Obverse 20 received 3 votes, and Obverse 21 received 4 votes. So once again, the two designs that met your unofficial threshold would be the top vote getter, Obverse 19, and then Obverse 2.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Are there any motions from the committee? Okay, seeing none, we will record accordingly.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Eric.
I assume we will revisit the text, inclusions and coverages and so forth, once we understand the opposite design as well.
I think that's what we'll do. And then we'll leave that up to Ron as well to give some insight on that. But I think that would be the best way to handle that. Okay. We'll have discussion now on the April to our Chief Mint Office of Design Manager to present the portfolio for the Basketball Hall of Fame commemorative coin program reverse.
Wonderful, thank you. I should note that all of these designs were developed by Artistic Infusion Program artists or our United States Mint sculptor engravers. These were not developed through a competition. There are 23 reverse design sets being shown today. Each depict 3 designs showing the variations required across the denominations. Other required inscriptions for the reverse include United States of America and E Pluribus Unum. Some artists submitted designs with additional inscriptions, which you would see. Our representatives from the Basketball Hall of Fame identified 4 preferences. We will show them to you now. They are reverse 5, reverse 9, reverse 12A, and reverse 17. I'd like to invite John DeLiva to make any comments regarding the reverse portfolio. And to clarify whether any of these 4 rose to the top in terms of your first preference.
Sure.
John?
It was actually, we polled a number of people back at the Hall of Fame, and it was no clear favorite here. We think all of these designs are beautiful representative designs and would work. Of course, we were waiting to see what the obverse sign was and what would work with that, and I guess that's part of your role here, but we believe each one of these designs probably a little lesser on number 5, at least from my perspective, because of the scale and the scope of the basket versus the ball, but I think the other 3 work nicely. Number 9, for instance,
You know, we talked about the global game, and I'm often stopped, and people say, you know, I was in the far reaches of Indonesia, and I'm driving down this dirt road, and then all of a sudden I see a rim. Maybe not a backboard, but I see a rim, and I see three kids playing basketball. So the iconic representation of the rim and the backboard are of interest to us, because the legislation does call for it to be a predominantly basketball design. Don, Robin, am I missing anything from the Hall of Fame, our team's perspective, the broader team's perspective?
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you. So we will start by sharing reverse design one. These designs depict a three-quarter profile view of a basketball. And we are only showing the designs for the $5 coin. Is that correct?
We'll just have to.
So we'll go through them. So we'll highlight the $5 and then move through. Okay. Reverse two. The designs portray a basketball with the inscriptions placed upon it in a three-dimensional manner. The pebbling on the design is arranged to mimic the three-dimensional effect of an actual basketball. Designs for reverse three show a straight-on view of a basketball. Designs for reverse four present a hand holding a basketball aloft to symbolize the importance of basketball in the history of athletics. Designs for reverse five depict a basketball in front of a hoop. This is one of the top four designs identified as preferences by the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. There is a comment that we should note that this design may have to be adjusted because the ball may read as if it's heading for a missed shot. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Designs for reverse six centrally feature a basketball with the additional inscription of one of Dr. James Naismith's purposes for inventing the sport, teamwork. Designs for seven and 7A show two hands poised to shoot a basketball. The hands on the ball itself represent that the Basketball Hall of Fame honors people involved in the sport as well as the sport itself. Designs for reverse 8 and 8A portray a close-up of the intense action of basketball. The inscription, E pluribus unum, Latin for out of many, one, is placed at the center of the composition to extend this idea beyond its original meaning, suggesting how the sport of basketball has brought together millions of diverse people through a universal athletic experience. Designs for reverse 9 centrally feature a backboard and hoop on a background of a basketball. Again, this is one of the top four designs identified by representatives as a preference. Designs for reverse 10 depict a basketball coming towards the viewer by way of a swish through the net. The ball has already passed through the net, hence the discrepancy in proportions between it and the rim. Designs for 11 and 11A reverse designs showcase a basketball that has just gone through the hoop and is ricocheting in the net before falling. By capturing the resulting movement and action of the ball's energy, the stretched net amplifies these two characteristics of the sport. Designs for reverse 12 show a view from directly under the basket with the ball in motion, capturing one of the more celebrated moments in the game, the moments just after a slam dunk, while designs for reverse 12A portrays a view with the basketball closer to the viewer and fewer connection points between the net and rim. Again, this is one of the top four preferences identified by the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Designs for reverse 13 and 13A depict a basketball just after it passes through the hoop for the game-winning shot. This point of view, from ground level looking up at the basket, conveys basketball's energy, intensity, and the sheer joy of the game. Design set 13A features the additional inscription, Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, across two panels of the ball. This same inscription is contained within one panel in design set 13. Designs for Reverse 14 and 15 portray the viewpoint of someone under the hoop wondering if the shot will score a basket. Design set 15 features the additional inscription of one of the seven Naismith values, teamwork, incused in the centerpiece of the ball, underscoring the similarity of the inscription E Pluribus Unum, which translates to out of many, one. Designs for Reverse 16 capture a last-second shot that could score the winning points and feature the additional inscription teamwork in the center of the ball. Designs for Reverse 17 depict a basketball about to pass through the net. Again, this is a top four preference from the Smith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. They commented that it is a clean design. They very much like the text not being on the basketball itself, and the angle of the ball reads as most likely to be making a shot. We noted coinability comments. The channels in the basketball, the lines, are not as dynamic as other designs, and they would like it to be more of a 3D feel, which could be, of course, addressed in sculpts. Designs for Reverse 18 portray two players set against the background of a basketball. That concludes the Reverse portfolio.
Thank you, April, very much. Are there any technical questions before we move on that you have for Ron?
I have a question. Inasmuch as the proof versions of these coins usually outsell the uncirculated versions, and inasmuch as, and perhaps this is merely me projecting, I know what a basketball feels like, and in so many of these drawings, because the ball is the dominant feature, my concern is the texture on the ball is a critical feature to anybody that knows anything about basketball. And the proof version is going to totally blast that texture apart and turn it into a giant blob. Is there any alternative in the proof version, Ron, to retaining more of the intrinsic texture when we go to a proof version?
I think it's something we're going to definitely have to explore. I think you can put the dimpled effect on it on both designs. Clearly on proof, we do have, with our laser, the capability of dialing the frost down so it's not as robust. And what we would do would be to look at maybe two or three different levels of contrast with our frosting. So we could do a light frosting on elements that need to show the subtle texture. So I think we can dial it in properly.
A ball that's experienced on the street is pretty doggone smooth. And it doesn't have much much real shading in the light. But a new ball with really healthy leather is going to have the kind of a reflection that you see typically on 17 there. Would it be possible on the proof version to actually do a continuous gradient of variable shading? I mean, we get drawings that have shading on them, and translating shading to sculpting is, of course, the nightmare we all deal with. But in this case, could it be done without it looking really cheesy?
Our experience thus far is that from the beginning coins off the die to the last coins, you get too much variability to do a gradient like that. You would definitely have to curtail your die life with that,
right.
And I don't think,
right,
with the volumes
you're gonna
we
lose
have.
Control.
Yeah.
So not really an option, you're saying. Well, we're getting a lot of noise in the background.
Can someone mute? Whoever's on the phone, could you mute your phone again, please? Please mute your phone.
No, that was my big concern, because we've inherited this design that says, give me a picture of a ball. And you're going to end up frosting the whole thing, and it's just a train wreck waiting to happen.
Okay. With those considerations, we'll begin our consideration for the reverse designs. Let's begin with Mary Lannan.
Because of my expertise in basketball.
Exactly.
Ron,
it'll be a slam dunk.
Yeah, exactly. I have a question. The highlights on number one, how would you accomplish that, at least on my
I think on that, you're getting more of a visual on the design itself.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to really show on a coin that way.
Okay. Be like the baseball, where you had the baseball.
I think, you know, you may want to do a heavier frost on the lines and a very light frost on the texture, and that way you get a little bit of that pearlescence
okay.
look to it.
Okay.
But I think that's about the best we can do with that kind of design.
Okay, thank you. All right. I actually happen to like number one, because looking at what we've picked with the three people reaching, this is the ball spinning in the same direction that they're reaching. So that to me sort of completes it. I prefer the design to be totally the basketball without the hoop. I think this is our chance to really shine and make something look very, very cool. It's big, so like let's go with it and not add any other extraneous detail, that because we've got all the stuff going on the other side. So the simpler the better for me. I like number one. I would be equally happy with whatever texture Ron and company can do on two or three. 17 is fine with me, but I just think that this is the direction they were all reaching. This is the way the ball was spinning. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Dr. Dean?
Okay. Mary and I did not discuss this beforehand, but I completely agree with her.
Okay.
I think that there's
Osmosis.
I think that there is something very, very elegant. I thought the number one and number two were breathtakingly beautiful. I really did. And I thought there's something just, amazingly elegant and, as you said, cool, where the circular nature of the coin and the circular nature of the basketball were one and the same. And I really don't think the hoops or the hands get you anything beyond that. And what this reminds me of, and again, this is my relative newness and freshness to the group, is a coin that we looked at where the coin was a tire. And it was the same thing. We all thought that was a different category. Going back a few meetings, and a lot of us really, really liked that coin. So I like one, I like two, I like three a little bit less, and then we just kind of, if we move on here, I really, if we have to include something, I like number nine, and I would have been willing to consider the very last one, which was 18, but I think I hope, you know, that number 19, the obverse that finished first, is going to handle, you know, the players and the diversity. And Mary, I do think that this is what I was thinking of, the obverse where they're reaching for the ball. It's almost like you flip it over, and the actual ball is what you have.
Thank you,
Dean. Eric.
When you said 19 there, Dean, did you really mean 18?
No, I was talking about the other one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But I did say that number 18, you know, under certain circumstances, if we picked a different obverse, would have been acceptable.
Right, right. In general, I was extremely disappointed by this set of drawings, and it's hardly the fault of the artist, because the box we're put in on this by the lawyers wanting to be the artists on this legislation is so constraining as to really just give us such an inability to deliver a quality product. Having said that, my hands are together clapping to the artists that managed to be stuck with a ball and do something creative with it. I'm going to start at the back on number 18 and go forward. I wish we had been able to consider this design before we considered the political correct opt-out that we chose for the other side, because we could have achieved the political correctness and that dimension of the marketing and sales goal for the Naismith folks by going with this design here and then putting some energy and some saleability on the other side. But that's kind of sour grapes at this point. I think design number 18 is practically taken out of consideration based on our recommendation on the former unless we want to revisit that recommendation. 17 was actually, of the entire set here, the one that I thought about, but then it inspired my question to Ron saying, how do we deal with the texture? Because this drawing is not about a ball. This drawing is about what a ball feels like when you're holding on to it. The texture is the essence of this drawing, and so I'm going to eliminate it because it's a disaster in proof, and it's a sculpting challenge that I think we would fail on. Walking backwards in this, I just found no inspiration in the designs. When we get to number 12, because I know this is a preference, I want to highlight something. Proof is the big seller. And proof, this is going to be a blob that looks like it has a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-point star around it. And it's not going to make any sense. So it loses its impact in the proof version. Walking further backwards, I just find no inspiration. When we get to number 9, I was really, really, it was a big wake-up moment for me when we heard the representative of the Naismith group say, as I travel internationally, what I see is a rim and a backboard. And whether the kids or the adults are there playing, I still see the game. And that is such a powerful reality. And I'm going to turn a little bit from the creative value to the marketing value. And although we're required to feature a ball here, this is really the backboard, which this is what you see around the world. And that was such a powerful point in story, you completely changed my view of this drawing to the point that I will advocate number 9 because I think it carries just that heartfelt, put a board up, put a rim up, we got a ball game. And that applies everywhere. Number 8 is just a handful of a train wreck. I don't know what to make of that. And number 7 is the only design that actually has hands on a ball that reflect reality. Number 6, that's how a coach holds the ball when he's talking to you about how to make a play better. It has nothing to do with the game. Number 4, that's how you hold a ball if you're trying to do a drawing of it. It has nothing to do with the game whatsoever. Number 5, I was intrigued by the design by committee edit of lowering the rim so it doesn't look like this is a missed shot. It looks like the ball actually is going to float down in. I like action in designs. I actually might advocate for this if the rim was lowered to about one-third of the way up. If you could keep the relative dimensionality of the ball and the rim right and still do that edit, we'd certainly have a design by committee we could go with. 3, 2, and 1, lovely pictures of balls. Creative, not so much. So that's how I'm going to vote on this. I think we were so constrained by the legislation as to take the very people that created this program, Congress, killed it.
Thank you, Eric. Jean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I have to agree with what has been said. I really like number 1 in its simplicity, but I'm not sure about it. I like the fact that if we chose number 1, it is the reverse of what we chose for the obverse. And I think that in that, it would add dynamics. And I look at number 5, even if we redesigned that, I don't find that spectacular. I enjoyed looking at the net that we had, and it's sort of like throwing the ball into a bowl of spaghetti. I'm not sure if that's what we want to really have on our coins. It's like, please. And number 9, although I agree with Eric, I think that was quite a nice tribute to seeing basketball all over the world. I don't think as a coin and as design and as a design element, I don't think that that's a very positive design. Number 12, which is one of the preferences, I think it's not going to coin up beautifully. This is going to be, you know, the convex part of the coin, and then we're going to have the drop back of the text. Again, I don't think that that's a great design element. If it were flat, you know, we would be thinking of something else. And the next one, which is number 17, again, 17 is a preference. And as a design, I really do not like, even though this is basketball, and I know what we're trying to accomplish, where, you know, the net, the rim of the net just kind of cuts through that ball. And I appreciate Eric's desire to have the stippled effect of the skin. I'm going to go back to number one and agree with Mary that number one, and with the obverse that we have chosen, and the fact that we are in a box by Congress, and we can't make a beautiful story of this amazing game. I'm so sorry about that. My leaning is toward number one. And to the basketball committee, I'm sorry that that's my choice. Thank you.
Okay, Gene. Thank you. Donald.
Yeah, Jeannie, I'm looking for the baseball coin.
Is your mic on?
Oh.
Oh, is it on?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. To me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, it's a concave coin, right?
This is
the convex side.
Yeah.
So why isn't 12? You're saying 12 is not going to work. To me, on the convex side of it, 12 is the right. There's no other choice. It's exactly the right.
Right, but then we've got the text around it. If we didn't have the text around it, I'd be for that. We don't. That's.
So it's the other side of it.
No. Wait. Yeah, we're talking about this side.
So you're doing this side of it. So the basket. So the ball is coming out of the net. This side of it.
Correct.
This is correct.
Yes.
This is what you want.
Yes, but I don't
want.
But
this is good.
But I don't like the text around it. The text around.
Your objection is the text on this side?
No, not on that side. I can't see this. I'm sorry. We're having this little sidebar here.
I think this is exactly what this coin needs. This is exactly what makes the coin work. This reverse, or obverse, whatever it is.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that, but I'm
Damn
not
packaging.
Here.
Take Damn a, packaging.
Take
Which
whole
one
thing
is
out.
That? Is that the baseball?
It's the baseball.
That's baseball.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. This is the Apollo.
This is the Apollo.
Oh, I had one out.
Here. This is how you deal with this packaging. Sorry.
See, Don doesn't get that far. When he gets his from the minute, stays in the brown box.
No, it doesn't. It goes to PCGS. I rip it out of the box and throw the box away.
So this is not the size. This is the side.
This is the side.
Right.
This is the side we're talking about.
Right.
So the ball is coming out of the side.
I understand that. I just don't like design-wise, the text around it.
Oh, we're going to discuss the text, though.
If all we had is the ball and the net, I'm for it.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay, so we agree.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Here.
No, when you say it, it makes me nervous.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going for simplicity with number one.
Okay. When that's Eric right. gratuitously attacks lawyers, that's Eric.
You don't take it personally.
Let's keep moving because we are. I think this is a no-brainer. I think it's cool.
It is. No, it is a no-brainer.
And this is one of the ones that they like, right?
12
Okay.
But one is for simpler.
Okay.
Don.
No-brainer.
Perfect. 12A. Dennis.
So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following up on something that Eric mentioned, I would note that we have not actually made a motion to make a recommendation for the obverse. So, as far as I'm concerned, this is still the conversation stage.
Sorry.
and reverse 18 should be under consideration. Having said that, assuming that we will go with obverse 19, that if we have that human interaction, the athletic participation on the obverse, don't need a lot of hands grasping or yearning football on the reverse. So my choices are for those that show a simple, clean view of the basketball. Of the ones that were our liaisons' preferences, I actually like number 17. Simple, it's clean, and you do get a sense of action by moving to the net that I better for the set view of our basketball at number two or number three. So my preference is for number 17 if you pair it with number 19. And then, again, following up on this idea that we have not made a recommendation yet, if we go with obverse 2, which was the single player in a very dynamic, energetic pose, I would recommend obverse 2 pair it with reverse 18, and then we get that sense of action and energy, but we also get it combined with some of the more inclusive element. You know, we have a male and a female player on the coin.
Yeah, Dennis. By the point of clarification, Greg would. I'm going to have Greg interject at this point.
You always have the option of placing a motion on the floor to make a recommendation. By default, the top vote getter would be your recommendation because we would simply report the scores. In this case, you have a clear favorite from it. That doesn't mean you can't, by motion, make a recommendation. The number two be the recommendation of the CCAC. That just hasn't happened. So, just to clarify, you have by default made a recommendation unless you act otherwise.
Yeah, I would actually pile in behind Dennis here, and I'll take the blame for taking reverse 18 off the table here. Honestly, I think reverse 18. Entertained with obverse 2, if the committee believes in trying to serve up the best design for saleability as well as important messaging to the customer, boy, we get inclusion and energy, and I can't think of a design pairing that would work better. So, Dennis, thank you for bringing it back in.
Have two committee members that raised this. I do happen to believe that our representatives from the Hall of Fame would like to comment on this about the idea of balancing the inclusivity with the energy.
Yes, and I made the mistake of asking if we could consider number 2 for the reverse, and the answer was no from a production standpoint, I think from a legal standpoint. So if we had number
18.
015 and 02 on back and forth, I think that would be a slam dunk saleability, getting to your point, sir. I personally like the story. There's a lot of story behind number 19, but I do see the saleability element of having number 2 as the obverse and number 18 as the reverse. There's a little less representation there. I can't necessarily, maybe this is a good thing, tell race, certainly gender we can tell. Typically, and maybe I'll be shouted down for this, but men playing women at a tip-off, I don't see that a lot, but this is so that's an issue, but this is a representative coin of basketball. That has a little bit of a concern, but my heart still tugs towards 26, but I think from a standpoint, I want to put it up to you two as well. We're kind of a team here, Don. What's your thoughts on this being the reverse and changing to number 2?
It did get a couple of votes. I think the feedback that we got was it had a little
little bit too much of a vintage look.
Vintage uniforms?
Yeah, the uniforms aren't accurate. So when we're looking at this,
that can be addressed.
Right.
That's a minor feature. And to your point, pictures on metal rarely makes a great coin. It's symbols that evoke feelings and in this case diversity. Yeah, I've never seen a co-ed game like this either. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, thank you for.
But the symbology is more important than the literalism, as long as the literalism isn't toxic.
Once again, could somebody mute your phone? Whoever's on the phone, we're still hearing static. Thank you.
Dennis, anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sam?
Well, I'm going to not continue that conversation.
I figure we can come back to it when we're finished. I think.
Yes. I liked number one. I thought it was clean and interesting and just captures everything. I liked number five. And if it had some adjustments that I think Eric or somebody had mentioned, that would be fine. I liked number seven, just from the hands holding the ball. And then lastly, I liked number 17. And I don't have strong preferences for any of them. I think any of them would be very good.
Okay, thank you. Robin?
I also like number one for the reasons everyone has already given. I also like number nine. Number seven, 7A, actually. Number 13A, and number 17. But my strongest preference would be for number one.
Okay. Thank you. Robert, are you on the phone? I know Mike Moran is not. Is Robert there? Okay. My thoughts on it are that depending which way the mint goes with some different ideas regarding this, and if we stick with the chosen design that we had on the obverse, I like 17 the best because of the fact that, you know, that's what you want to see happen. You want to see, you know, if you're playing basketball, you want it to go into the, you know, into the hoop and into the rim and make the score, right? So, and I don't mind the, I think that's simple. I think the mint can make the proof the way it needs to be, texturized. What I'm worried about number one, and it's not that I don't like number one, number two. What I don't like is the fact that it is closer to the Canadian design that came out about 3 years ago. It's a very similar in nature, and it's extremely similar to baseball. It's extremely, extremely the same. So I really don't want to put – I'd rather basketball stand on its own, and I'd rather see it being probably 17. I like the one also that Dawn had mentioned. I believe it was number 6, Dawn. Was that the – pardon me?
12.
Yeah. I think that that has some potential as well in relation to exactly what you're saying based on the nature of the curve. That would really stand out. And then we could leave it to the mint to decide how you want to have the wording and how you want to have with the stakeholders the proper recognitions and so forth. Before we go into voting, I'd like April to make a couple more comments from the mint side, please.
Yes, I'd be remiss if I did not share that the United States Mint is considering the use of colorization on this commemorative coin program. I stress the word considering because, of course, if it were done, it would be the first time. So the application of it, the execution of it, really would depend on the decision for a final go or no-go, and the designs would be a large part in driving that. So we would not be colorizing, if this were to be done, we would not be colorizing certainly all of the coins in the commemorative coin program. It would be a subset of each of the offerings for silver and clad. So that would be something that we would look into based on the designs that ultimately are recommended and selected by the Secretary, as well as an intense research and development effort that the Mint would have to engage in to ensure that the quality of the coins would absolutely be of the highest regard.
Thank you, April. One of the things that Dawn and I had the chance to be with Fred from the CFA, Langstrom from there, and they are in favor of subtle textured color. They've come a long way in that curve process in recognizing some of the things are done. We certainly don't want to have the bright, vibrant cars or different things like that. But for instance, on number 17, if the Mint does go that direction and you had the rim and just the net, it would be very subtle. And the CFA has agreed that in principle that any subtle exposure to that type of texturing would be favorable from their eyes. And that's a strong buy-in, too. So, and he said this in his presentation to the artists. So the artists are very aware of this. When you vote, consider that is a possibility. And once again, if we chose number one, there's not much room to do anything in regards to that. But my bigger concern is that it's just too much like the baseball. Although I do like it, but vote and we'll see how it comes out, and then the Mint can take it from there. So everyone, please vote and turn in your sheets to council. It'll be too much like Canada. That's what happened.
Yeah,
that's what
happened. Not just Canada, by the way.
No,
that's
true.
We'll take a 5-minute recess.
Sure.
Let's take a five-minute recess.
Just like that.
Okay, I'd like to have our General Counsel, Greg Wyman, report the findings on the considerations.
Can we come back to order?
I think they're having a conversation that's relevant to what you proceed with. So.
Do we?
Just give them a moment.
Okay. Okay. The results of the tally are as follows.
No, maximum is different because we'll have Robert.
No, actually, Michael Moran did submit his vote before he went off the call.
Okay, but Robert, no.
Yeah, and Robert, everybody, yes.
Oh, Robert, yes. Okay, so we're still at 33.
It is still at 33, which means the default would be 17. With that in mind, just one reverse obtained that, but one came very close. Just, you know. So the votes are as follows. Reverse 1 received 20 votes, which is the highest vote getter.
Wow.
Reverse 2 received 6. Reverse 3 received 4. Reverse 4 received 1. Reverse 5 received 2. Reverse 6 received 1. Reverse 7 received 3. 7A received 5. 8 received 1 vote. Reverse 8A received 1 vote. Reverse 9 received 9. Reverse 10 received 1. Reverse 11 received 1. Reverse 11A received 1. Reverse 12 received 7 votes. 12A received 6 votes. 13 received 1 vote. 13A received 2 votes. 14 received 1 vote. 15 received 1 vote. 16 received one vote. 17 received 16 votes, so just shy of your default position. And 18 received 5 votes. So with all that information, now you can move forward with motions or otherwise.
Thank you, Craig. At this time, are there any motions? And keep in mind that if you would like, you can submit 2 designs. You know, if you want to make a motion to move forward, or if anyone wants to do that, you can
2 pairings.
You can do otherwise as well. So with that, I'll open the floor up for discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
With all due respect to the way the votes went, I think holistically we have to look at the combination of the public input or the variety that that gives us and respect that. I think we have to look at the issues that we've surfaced here today. I think we have to look of energy, of inclusion, of design requirements, and I think we have to include, in this case, the preferences of the group involved. And I want to revisit a point that Dennis made by feeling out everyone's feeling if we were to actually consider going with reverse 18 and the second best and strong vote getter, obverse 2, to give, and I want to make sure that the constituents here weigh in on this, to give both the key point of diversity and inclusion as well as the energy on the coin plus complying with the ball being featured on the reverse per the legislation.
Okay, now keep in mind that it was number 2 and number 19 that had the highest votes for the obverse, and it was number 1 and it was 18, I believe.
I understand so, that, so, but
yeah,
I...
But
I'm
just saying for the group, not you.
Can you turn your microphone on?
Yeah, I think that's you, Tom. I'm just trying to do the best art here by considering all of the options and not some options in a vacuum.
So,
recalling our obverse vote, there were 2 standouts.
Right.
There was the standout number 2, which is kind of everybody acclaimed the high energy thing, which I think will relate to kids and all kinds of people around the world that want to feel the yeah of basketball.
Right.
And the other big vote getter was number
19.
Number 19, okay. And if I'm not mistaken, the appeal on number 19 was the ability to include all the constituencies that would be the make up the players, men, women, the disadvantaged, and I would argue teen or youth is lacking. But that was the impetus of that design. And between those two, I think we saw the committee's challenge as well as preference. Now, when we actually go to merge that with the reverse considerations, and Dennis raised this, does 18, in fact, on the reverse, give the opportunity, and granted we might want to address the uniforms and potentially even the ages or if you even want to change ethnicity on the players there, but you take that for the inclusion concept here to serve that piece of the marketing ultimatum, which I think the Naismith people have, and then pair it with the action on the other side.
So Dennis.
Yes, I'm here.
So what I'm hearing, if I may paraphrase this, Mr. Chairman, what I'm hearing is you and Eric are suggesting as a possible alternative, a motion as an alternative recommendation from the CCAC that we support reverse 18 with some variation of the art on reverse 13, the man woman, some modification to it.
Yeah. Reverse 18
and obverse 2, and that we support that as an alternate recommendation to consider.
Yeah, I would make a motion to.
Does that correctly state what you think as well, Dennis?
I think that I yes, basically
okay.
Yes.
And I agree with what Eric said, that we have three different levels or facets that we're looking at. We're looking at energy and action, inclusion, and legislation, right? For the reverse, we're constrained by the legislation. The reverse simply has to do, the only thing that we have to do is obey the law that Congress has written, which says we need to show a basketball. If we can get either energy or inclusion and add that to the reverse and go above and beyond, then I think that's great. When it comes to inclusion, I think that OBVER 19 definitely does it better and more artistically than reverse 18. Okay, I think, I'll repeat that. I think Obverse 19 does inclusion better than Reverse 18. So, but because of what we've been given in terms of the Obverse and Reverse portfolios, yes, I think that having Obverse 2 coupled with Reverse 18 would give us a good combination of all three of those elements. We've got the energy in action, the inclusion, and the legislation is covered.
And so why don't we make, if we may, Mr. Chairman, I absolutely can support that, and I think it's a great idea to create flexibility.
I'd like to discuss it a bit more to get some more opinions.
One thing before that, just so the committee knows, the chosen by vote was Obverse 19 with Reverse 1. That was the sentiment of the vote.
Correct.
Okay? The majority. So now we can either take that and or add Obverse 2 with Reverse 18 is what's being suggested. So
as an alternative. To make an alternative recommendation.
Exactly.
To do that with some variation on the art of 18. And simply kick it back and let them decide.
And they can decide the wording.
And let them decide what
wrong side of the house,
give them flexibility.
That goes.
And give them flexibility.
So are you making that as a motion?
I'm going to support
Eric's motion
and Dennis's second, and I'll support it, absolutely.
I'd like to know how the folks at Naismith feel about this, because you're going to live with this decision.
Right. So from our perspective, I think Reverse 18 solves the big issue that we think we would face if we did not include women as part of this. Wheelchair basketball is important, but in terms of segmentation, men's basketball, women's basketball is the primary. So I think with updating and getting these from out of vintage uniforms into something more contemporary, and maybe a little more definition on who these people might be, along with, and I loved number two myself, I think that is a very excellent secondary recommendation.
I'd like to say something. I think we need to remember the total number of votes that have already been voted. And to me, it was sort of extraordinary that we really liked number 19 for the obverse, for the inclusivity. And for me, it was the cleanness and the implied motion of number one for the reverse. So 20 votes and 26 is pretty substantial.
Can I
ask a question? This is Dennis.
Yes.
I think I was offline for a moment. Were the rankings or votes for the reverse designs given?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that. The system was not turned on. And I apologize. So I don't know what the number one is.
20. Number
20
one.
20 for number one.
And
number
17.
And
how many votes? Can you just give me the top three votes?
The top votes were number 1 got 20 votes, number 17 got 16 votes.
Number 12 got 7.
Okay.
Number 12, number 9 got 9 votes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just respond to Mary, Mr. Chairman? My feeling would be tomorrow's the CFA. Mm-hmm. So they have tonight, they have this afternoon and tonight to really give more thought to, because they just heard a lot of stuff, and we can be very daunting to anybody who comes and listens to us, mm-hmm. and they just heard a lot of stuff. So my thinking about supporting this resolution is to give them the maximum flexibility between this afternoon and tomorrow when they have to go to the CFA, so that they can, and they may decide later today after they talk to all the people they have to talk to, because they're going to have to work the phones and do what they have to do. I don't want to be them today. You know, they have to work the phone and do a lot of work, but they may decide, like, look, we like what was original, what, you know, you know, and they're done, and in which case they walk into the CFA and they say, you know, of the two things that were done yesterday, this is what we prefer. Because you know that's what they're going to ask. And at the CFA, it's going to happen really fast. It's not going to be like this.
5 minutes.
So they got 5 minutes to make their case. So by having a resolution that says we would consider this as an alternative, we arm them with something that if they choose...
They're not handcuffed otherwise to one design.
Correct. And that's how the CFA is going to look at them tomorrow.
Right. And they're going to look at, and the other thought is that if we do that, there's the possibility that in that design, you could possibly, working with Ron, even turn this into a rim on the outside of this. So there's options for them to do. So,
Which
Eric,
design is that, Tom, just for reference?
19. On the
obverse 19.
So I think your motion would be then, Eric, it would be to honor the vote of 19 and 1 and then couple it with the optional suggestion and alternative as 2 and 18, correct?
I'd be willing to modify the motion to make put forth two sets of recommendations on equal weighting here. Because what troubles me here, and quite frankly, it is actually quite troubling, because if our mission is the best art, then we should be considering all of the art when we consider any of the art. And to have had the obverse discussion without any discussion relative to reverse, I think is putting the consumers of this product, the customers of the Mint, at a disadvantage. And I think we always need to keep the customer in mind and produce the best obverse and reverse together.
Right.
And
well,
so,
of course,
respecting the votes individually and the opportunity collectively, I would modify the motion to put forth two recommendations so the CFA can see that and the constituent organization can have their say as well.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. So, Dennis?
The reverse, the legislation requires that the reverse depict the basketball. Would it be possible for us, and this is a crazy idea, but I'll throw it out there. What if we used obverse 2 for the obverse and obverse 19 for the reverse? There, I said it. the legend would have to be modified. But as Eric is saying, you know, if we look at all of these designs individually, stripping them of their obverse or reverse status, what is the best art? What is telling the story we want, the way we want to tell it? And again, you know, what's giving us the energy, inclusion, and satisfying the legislation? Can we use obverse 2 for the obverse and obverse 19 for the reverse, modified to...
Dennis, I think I'd like to have April define that because of the legislation.
Yes, and actually in break, there was lots of side conversations exploring the latitude that the Mint would have with regard to the legislation. I'm looking at our assigned counsel, April Whitaker. Is it fair to say, April, that as long as the reverse has a prominent depiction of a basketball, we are within bounds, so to speak, of meeting our legislative requirement?
Right. If one of the obverse designs primarily or centrally featured a basketball, could be chosen for the reverse, it would qualify, it would depict a basketball in that instance. So if any of the designs as they are or as modified would primarily or centrally feature the basketball, that would be appropriate.
So Dennis is positing utilizing potentially obverse 19 as a reverse. I think this is where Mr. Urim was going, saying if there could be a modification to obverse 19 where perhaps instead of the net, a feature were added into the background depicting
a basketball
in a very prominent way, that it would meet the requirements of the legislation and still, of course, be embraced for its inclusivity. But
One concern would be how something that has been designed for the concavity of the obverse might translate reverse, which with its convex nature. So I'd like to throw to Ron, and he could talk us through what the potential here is for that particular scenario.
We could say either or. And then just
we could put the designs all out there and give them all four.
No, we could say either or for the obverse, and then give them even more. Yeah.
Okay, let Ron finish up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly speaking with a little bit of a design hat here as well, so I'm speaking a little bit for the chief engraver that we talked about these. These obverse designs were designed to be concave, so it's going to be more of a wide-angle look to it. This design could be sculpted that way. If you change this into more of a fisheye kind of look, you're going to have to modify the artwork to make it look more like a fisheye if you put it on the other side. That may be a little bit more difficult from an artistic perspective based on it. Shown there is that's designed as pretty much a flat design. That really doesn't have it. Where if you go back to the obverse number two, that design where his feet are like right there and your face, that type of thing, that is really designed appropriately for the concave look on that. So you have to think those aspects on it. That design would not translate very well if you put it on the other side as a fisheye. You would have to really distort the artwork in a different way.
Mr. Chairman, so if we go back to the prior image on the screen here, which I think was obverse
18.
I want to be clear here.
So
obverse 19, we would be potentially looking at using this for the convex side. And did I hear the thought of replacing the backdrop of the net here with the linear portions of a ball?
Yes.
That I believe that would be required in order to meet the...
I would argue the reaching for the ball. There are two central elements of this. That is the effort and the object. I think this, and Dennis, congratulations for maybe cracking this nut for us. This as a convex side, I think could work wonderfully against obverse 2 as the concave side.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing is, quite honestly, we get two public designs on one coin. I think it's just a wonderful outcome, personally. And I'd be willing to withdraw my motion in favor of that one.
I think the option for alternatives and options for the mint to go before the committee is still really important. I think we should honor the vote that was taken.
Certainly.
You know, for everyone picking the designs. And then not try to modify or do anything, because I think they understand our side. When we were talking about customers today, our customers, the stakeholders here, that's who we're focusing on.
And I'll mention one more thing, if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, that those of you who have been to CCAC for some time will know this. Everything that we've discussed, that you've discussed today, is on the public record. And so, the stakeholders are literally in the room right now hearing everything you say. So whether you do this by formal motion or not, the discussion is clearly out there when there's an ultimate recommendation.
But I don't think
you have to worry too much about...
With all due respect to that, the memo that carries our recommendation forward administratively, I'd like to see...
The more you put into a memo...
The two parallel mentions in that would be...
That would be helpful.
Would be my desire here.
And the motion's on the floor.
Okay, so we have a motion that you made. And Dennis, did you second? Excuse me, Jim.
I would like to add to this conversation that we as a CCAC have been charged with helping to choose good designs for our coins. And I think when we have a vote like we've just had, where we have, as a committee, chosen certain designs, then I think we need to honor that before we start to alter some of these designs. Our charge is not to design the coin, it's to be advisors and make the best coin out of what we've been given. And I love Dennis's idea. Dennis, congratulations, but I also think we are,
we need to pay attention to other factors.
But with all due respect, the vote on the obverse was done in a vacuum.
Indeed, it was, and that's unfortunate. But
it is.
But I.
And my motion is not to overwhelm or dismiss the standard default process. It's actually to make a recommendation in parallel.
Correct.
So as to let the constituents, the CFA, and ultimately the Mint officers and the Treasury officials know our best thoughts.
With that being said, why your motion originally is to put four alternatives on the table for the Mint to take and move forward with and work with our stakeholders accordingly. It was 19 the number one, 19 obverse, number one reverse that garnered the most votes. So by default, that automatically should be considered it because that's what the committee chose.
Short of a motion to augment or change that.
Yeah. And then the option or the alternative for obverse number two with reverse 18 is an option for them to consider as well, which is what you...
That's the motion on the floor. I'd like to discuss with my second. Would you be willing to modify that motion, Dennis, as the second?
One second there. Don't you think it would be better to do that and then let the Mint decide any other pairings that might, you know, we're still giving them the opportunity for pairings?
I actually don't.
Okay.
I think it needs to rise to the level of official communique as opposed to fall into the morass of did you listen to the transcription?
Okay. Okay, we have a second. We have your motion, and right now Dennis has seconded. We should call for the question on this motion first.
I think there's discussion that isn't completed yet.
Go ahead, finish up.
And that discussion, Dennis, would you consider altering the motion to essentially go to the idea you did, which is we adopt two obverse designs for the coin. We adopt obverse 19 for the convex portion, which I think is normally called the reverse, and obverse 2 for the concave portion, which is intended as the obverse. Did I get that correct, April?
Yes.
I want to be crisp here. Would you be willing to modify our motion to that, Dennis?
I would, and I think I would word the motion so that we make recommendation, either to make firm recommendations for the wording of the legends and inscriptions, or simply note that that would need to be figured out at some point.
If we could put that off for the moment and just stick with the principal art images.
Yes.
What we're saying is 19 and number one as default. Then we're going to go to what next?
Well, we have the recommendation stand as the default vote pair.
Right.
And so that stands. But on equal standing in the recommendations would be obverse 2 as the intended concave obverse, and what is obverse 19, a second public design, to be adopted as the convex reverse of the coin.
Yes.
I would amend my motion to that. And you would still second it, Dennis?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. And it's recorded accordingly.
End of the discussion.
So, end of the discussion. Let's take a vote. All those in favor on the motion to rearrange the obverses and the reverses as discussed in the motion, all those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You better take a
roll. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6, the motion's defeated.
Thank you.
So, how about another motion then to move forward with options for the Mint? I would entertain a motion if anyone wants to do that back to keeping it as obverse 2 and 18, or do you want to just move forward with the recommended voted designs?
I move
with.
Well, do you mean obverse?
Back to the. Versus shuffling the designs, we would go back to. The alternative that Dawn brought up of having obverse number 2 and reverse 18 is another selection, part of the selection process. In conjunction with the one that was voted with the highest votes of number 19 for the obverse and number 1 for the reverse.
I support that motion.
Then Eric makes that motion. We need a second.
I'll second.
Dawn seconds.
and thank you, Dennis. All those in favor of giving the mint the option to include the second pairing, along with those that were voted and won the majority, all those in favor signify saying aye.
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 Opposed? Four opposed? Motion carries.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. That was good.
Okay. Thank you for indulging me.
No, that's fine.
I appreciate it.
No, that's fine. Is there anything else to come before our committee meeting today? I would just like to say that once again, based on Mr. Moran's and myself, as far as House Bill 3757, which is for the 2021 Morgan and Peace dollar. We're going to be getting a whole lot of information out to you so that you can help support and for those of you that are able to officially be able to make sure that we get as many signatures as possible for that legislation. So you heard from Mike earlier today, and we'll keep you posted on that. So any other business to come before our next meeting? Is scheduled for September 18th, 2019. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Eric, second?
Second.
Sam, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you, Dennis.
We're adjourned.
Thank you all on behalf of the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry to deliver so much
to the CCAC members. Just a reminder to the CCAC members, there will be lunch in here. Yes, and the administrative meeting can continue.
This will serve as an admin meeting.